Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We are joined first by State Senator Sean Ryan. And Senator, thanks for joining us. Sorry about the mishap last week.
Oh, that's okay. These things happen, but I'm happy to be on with you today, Joe.
Now, 2 weeks ago, you announced your four-step plan for affordable housing in the city of Buffalo. Explain that plan to our listeners.
We all know we've had housing and problems in Buffalo's over the year. Buffalo's housing stock, oldest in the nation. We need some new housing. And you're hearing now Buffalo's got a hot housing market. But Time Magazine looks at it a different way, and they say, well, Buffalo got a hot housing market because their housing supply is the second worst of the 100 largest U.S. metro areas. The market's not in new houses into our communities, and this demand creates a big clog. So we need to figure out how we can put this together and make it so, you know, the city of Buffalo is not just a city of good neighbors, but city of good neighborhoods. So, you know, we in the city of Buffalo had a lot of vacant lots. We have over 13,000 residential lots. We need to focus on infill housing to get new starter homes on the market. But so much of our current housing policy is based on the New York City model, the scarcity of land. If you can get a few lots, build a, you know, multiple unit big building. But those kind of programs in Buffalo, they really don't move the needle much on infilling some of the vacant lots. So the big part of the plan is this revitalization and rebuilding of homes. If we hit these numbers, we're going to be able to produce a tremendous amount of property tax revenue for the city and for the county, about $12 million extra dollars a year. So step one is new infill housing. And, you know, that's the first step.
So that new housing, you talk about the empty lots, but what about some of the houses that just aren't able to be moved in? Are those houses that need to be torn down covered by this plan as well?
Well, there's the thing. So we've done a lot of demos over the last 20 years. Got a little over aggressive with our demolitions because we narrowed our housing supply so tight that when our city and county population grew by just a small amount in the last decade, suddenly we have this housing pressure. So we discovered that there's a lot of units in Buffalo. You know, think upper unit from a, you know, grandmother who owns the double, can't afford to put a new heating system in, or can't afford to fix some of the plaster that was damaged by a roof leak. So second part of the plan is to try to put more high-quality rental stock on the market. So it would be a plan that would prioritize empty units that aren't being used. We could put those on the markets fast. We could think, where our math shows we could put 1,500 new units on the market, and we would give landlords grants, and in return they would agree to keep the properties up, but also rent them at an affordable rate. That is much cheaper than building new multifamily apartment units. So we've got the existing units. Everyone sort of knows the story of somebody's relative who has a double that they don't rent anymore. But we've got to get those houses back on the market.
So an incentive to get empty space rented. And what would be the scale of affordable rental that would keep that these grants would keep the renting the monthly rent at?
So we want to be able to keep the rents affordable for the neighborhood. So we'll look at what the rent currently is in the neighborhood and try to keep it, you know, at that amount. But generally, you know, in Buffalo, that's between like $800 and $1,200 for a one or two bedroom. But you know, I'm thinking of it as a very neighborhood-based plan. So if houses off of Seneca Street in South Buffalo, if the average double rents for X dollars, that's what we want to, you know, keep it at. We don't want to go look at a county-wide scale. We want to look at a neighborhood-wide scale because most people want to stay in their own neighborhoods, and we want to make that affordable. But in terms of saving dollars, it's so much more efficient to rehab existing units than to go build new ones. And I'm not talking gut rehab. I'm talking, you know, undercapitalized landlords who just can't afford the $50,000 or $75,000 that's necessary to get apartment up to snuff and to get it back on the rental market.
You also talk about in your plan energy efficiency and keeping energy bills down. How will this plan address that?
Yeah, that's a good one. So, you know, we realize that a lot of evictions in Buffalo because of high heating costs, and a lot of people can't afford to buy a house because, you know, in Buffalo, you don't just look at the rent or you don't just look at your monthly payment for your mortgage and interest. So you've got that surprise 4 months of the year where you're paying hundreds of dollars more in utility bills. But this goes back to our old housing stock. So the modern energy codes were developed in the 80s, and all of Buffalo's housing was built out way before then. I live in a house that's over 100 years old. So we need to do a utility scale insulation. Just make it our responsibility to get our homes insulated. It'll drive down the cost of rentals and home ownership. It'll also help us reduce our carbon. Right now, we waste a lot of energy in Buffalo because it's not uncommon in Buffalo. If you put a hole in a plaster, you're going to see your 2x4, and then you're going to see the outside of the house. Like, there's no insulation at all. So we have to work, get our homes insulated. Most of the current plans are super complicated. You're probably eligible for an insulation grant. I'm probably eligible for a grant. They don't really work that well because they're not consumer friendly. You have to get a lot of estimates. You have to put the money up first. You have anxiety that it's not going to come back. We just need to make it. So if you're a National Grid customer or a National Fuel customer, just like they come knocking your door and say, we're here to change your meter, you want them to come knocking your door and say, we're here to insulate your homes. That cost could be amortized out over 30 or 40 years to all the ratepayers, and essentially disappears into the rate. But it makes it so we don't have to build new electric generating facilities because we're using less energy.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
And then you also talk about addressing homelessness and how it is cheaper to keep people in their homes than rent out hotels and motels to house people who have lost their housing. What is the current way things are done in New York State, and how would your plan change it?
Yeah, that's another good issue. So a long time in Buffalo, if you got evicted and you fell behind on your rent, you would agree to leave because you could walk down the street and get another apartment. Now that the supply of apartments is evaporating, suddenly if you get evicted, you're going to find yourself doubling up with a relative or, worst case scenario, living in a shelter or a hotel. It costs about $14,000 to keep somebody in a shelter system. We did the research in Buffalo City Court, and we found out that the average person is getting evicted for $1,200. So it's dollars and cents smart to help somebody with their $1,200 rental bill as opposed to taxpayers footing a bill for $14,000 to keep people in a shelter. We have programs that exist already. We sort of bog them down with a lot of restrictions. Like, well, you can't apply for this money if you've gotten it in the last 5 years. You can't apply for this money unless you have like a different job prospect looking at you in the future. All those things have made it so we actually send money back in Erie County that could be used to prevent homelessness, but we've just put too many rules attached to it. So we want to streamline that program, make it more like the HEAP program, where if you're qualified for heating assistance, get the heating assistance. So no one looks if you have applied in the last year or not. So we need to just take more of a dollars and cents approach. The cheapest way to take care of people's housing needs is to keep them in their current apartment. Right now, because the shelters are filling up in Erie County, you have people staying in hotels and in Hamburg and in the northern suburbs, far from the kids' schools, far from people's jobs. It really doesn't help people get out of their bind. It almost digs them deeper into the hole. Because if you just think about transportation costs for a child from Buffalo who's in a hotel in Hamburg, needs to get into school every day. This is why the cost of keeping people in their houses is a way better deal. You know, we also found out through our research that 90% of the people evicted in Buffalo evicted because they simply can't pay their rent. It's not because the landlord wants to kick them out and charge more rent. It's not because gentrifiers are moving in. It's simply because people had some hiccup in their life, a medical bill, or hours got cut at work, somebody got sick in their house, and you get behind, and it's really tough to catch up.
State Senator, you mentioned transportation, and the first time you and I spoke was on this show a few years ago, and it was talking about the 198, the Skajakuta, and I believe it was you and Congressman Higgins were talking about a plan to remove the 198 and bring the park back together. I want to know, is that plan still in the works, and how does that differ from the current plan to put a cap on the 33? Do you agree with that plan, and should the 33 also be removed, the expressway be removed, and the neighborhood brought back together?
So we had a lot of fits and starts in the 1-8 plan. The State Department of Transportation coming back with plans that the community rejected. So just before COVID, Congressman Higgins, myself, and some others went to the Department of Transportation and said, you're going to keep beating your head against the wall. Like, you can't really figure this out. And, you know, they agreed because they build highways. They generally don't skinny them down. So we work closely with the Greater Buffalo Regional, how do you say that again, Joe? GNBRTC, Greater Buffalo Niagara Falls Regional Transportation Council. And they spent about 2 years interviewing citizens, talking about what people want the 198 to be. And they came up with a really good plan called Region Central. And it looks about how people get from different parts of the city, how people can get to jobs. They found that the 198 was actually a hindrance to getting around. And it was a hindrance for people getting to jobs, and in addition to what we know, right, which is that cut off neighborhoods from each other. It cut off universities from their surrounding areas. It split our parks in half. So that plan has been submitted back to the Department of Transportation. This is the first time in over 20 years of looking at 198 that the community has come together on a plan. That plan is back with the department now, and we hope to head towards a design. That whole community process was wrapped up, and the final report came out late summer, early fall. So we think that we're on track with that plan. We'll restore a parkway through Delaware Park. It'll make it so that different parts of Black Rock don't have a large off-ramp coming through a substantial part of their neighborhoods. It'll make it so that people in the Hamlin Park neighborhood now have a parkway and behind their houses, and it'll allow it so some of the streets in that neighborhood behind Sisters Hospital were cut off. We're going to be able to link it all back together. So we're really proud of the work that we've been able to do, New York State, in conjunction with some of the transportation planners in various aspects of our community led by the Skagitakwitha Coalition. And that includes everything from neighborhood groups to Buffalo State College, Madai, Canisius, the Art Museum, the History Museum, Black Rock neighborhood. So we're really excited about going forward. Most importantly, the community is behind this plan, and we hope to get it into a hard design during this calendar year.
See, that seems a little different than over on the 33, because it seems that the public opinion of the people in the area of where the project would be, it's very split. Now, would you like to see a similar project done to the 33 to what is being done at the 198 instead of the proposed cap?
Here's what I know is when you and I first started talking about the 198, the community was not joined on a solution. We would have community forums, 100 people would come, and half the room would disagree with the other half of the room, and it just wasn't going well. It was only when we stopped and really looked in depth at all the potential alternatives that we were able to finally, come together. So we had a fractured community. We had much of what you're seeing now in the Kensington debate. By slowing it down and really allowing every aspect of the community to be heard and to be listened to, and we have a plan with unity now. But really does, it feels like 5 years ago when I read the paper about the Kensington /33. So I hope that the Department of Transportation, that the community groups, that the stakeholders under 33 will listen to each other, and we'll really have the humility to not be stuck on one plan, but to actually listen to experts, listen to what the community wants. Because if you start these projects by saying we have to move cars as fast as possible, you're not going to have the community with you. You need to start these projects by listening to the community to say, what do you want to happen when this project is over? What are your expectations? And we found by doing that, the 198 Skajakwata project, that we were able to get a community consensus. And so without the GNRTC, a lot of this wouldn't have happened. So I really thank them for their work. But these are once-in-a-lifetime projects. So if we get the Skajakwata wrong, someone's going to come back and say, we'll give you a redo. We're making sure that this money we're spending is really going to be something that impacts our neighborhoods, improves our economy, and improves health outcomes.
Final question, Senator, and you might get upset, but I have to ask this one. Mayor of Buffalo, is that a job you are interested in?
Right now, I'm really concentrated on serving the people of Western New York in the Senate. You know, we just put together this big housing plan. We've been working on the 33 for a while. We're also working on trying to restore the Skajakwata Creek. So I've got my hands full at the state level right now. We have a mayor of Buffalo. He's only halfway through his term. Right now I'm concentrated on the state, but never say never.
All right. State Senator Sean Ryan, again, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Great talking to you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.